Really what we're trying to do is to transition weedy forests into grassy woodlands. And once the grassy woodlands return, wallabies and kangaroos can come into the forest and start maintaining it. With goats and hand tools, you can actually help move the forest. What would ordinarily might take 20 years or 100 years, you can speed that up so that things repair much more quickly. The plant life of the forest floor returns. The problem with land management as it applies to blackberries is this sort of mentality of correct and incorrect, good and bad, good and evil. In that sort of classic permacultural principle or permacultural understanding that the problem is the solution, rather than seeing blackberries as the enemy, understanding blackberries as the nurse plant, their habitat, their soil builders, their soil stabilizers, but understanding that its dominance is disabling biodiversity because it's covering the entire forest.
The blackberries are just so smothering here. You can't access these areas at all, not even going for a bushwalk, unless you want to get cut up by blackberries.
They pose a huge fire risk when they're 2 and 4 meters high. Each year the canes die back and then the new leaves and canes grow on top, and so they just keep amassing each year. And what's left in the middle is basically tinder ready to fuel fire. So if embers from a fire get into them, they can rush up, and the blackberries often grow up trees so they can fuel crown fires because they're making the fire go up, right up into the eucalypts.
The normal methods that I'm aware of in clearing noxious weeds, blackberries and gorse, herbicides, using sprays, using heavy machinery, earth moving machinery, and burn offs.
The Country Fire Authority, otherwise known as the CFA, about 7 years ago did a big burn through this forest. This is necessary work in terms of protecting the town. But from an ecologist perspective, I kind of reeled back after seeing that work.
It burns off the natives, and it's like you're stripping the undergrowth. So the only thing that's really going to take off after on the next growth is the noxious weeds.
A lot of the hawthorns were burnt severely, and many of the hawthorns have ringtail possum drays built in them. Over the next 2 or 3 years, the blackberry and gorse came back with a vengeance because fire often puts the weed cycle back at stage one. Watching the takeover of blackberries and gorse come back, and thinking there's got to be another way of doing this so that in another 5 or 6 years, the CFA don't come back and burn again. There must be another way of transitioning the forest to a much lower fire risk forest, but without destroying habitat, without destroying the ecology. So originally starting by boarding down the blackberries and chopping and dropping the thicker canes, has transitioned to using goats who do this work so effectively and quietly and gently.
So with managing the goats, we'll first select appropriate sites. Once we find a site, we will start making pathways for the fencing, and we use like a solar electric fencing. Once that's done, which is just the grunt work, that's the hardest part, then we'll come through with the fencing. And then we just kind of let the goats into that cell.
The goats we're using are boar goats or boar crosses. They can pretty much survive on blackberries.
They'll eat the leaves, they love the leaves. They love the fruit when it's fruiting. And if you leave them in there long enough, they'll eat the canes to a degree, you know, especially the soft shoots.
They do like other things. They love hawthorn, holly, broom, gorse, all the prickly things. Our idea is that after 3 or 4 years of goats grazing, with the first year, the first season being quite intensive, in order to get these 2 to 4 meter blackberry brambles down onto the ground, then by the next year they've come back to a certain degree. So an acre might take a month for our herd to completely flatten and put down onto the ground. The next year it might take 10 days, and then the following year a week, and then the following year after that just a few days. The plant life of the forest floor returns. In that diversity, there's insect diversity. And with insect diversity, small mammals have got much more food. And then with smaller mammals, larger predatory birds and owls and raptors. Plant biodiversity equals animal biodiversity.
The support from the neighbourhood is important, firstly, so that they don't dob us into the council. Then we can continue doing what we're doing. And second of all, it's education, really.
The neighbours' involvement in this project is really important because of the social licence that that's given this work. Some, I think, were a bit reluctant initially.
Patrick and Brad come and see me to see whether I would mind if they put them out the front of my place. At first, I was a little bit sceptical about what they were doing, and I didn't think it was, it didn't worry me. And when they put him in, I actually got a little bit of a surprise of how good a job and the terrain that the goats can get down. It was probably nearly 2 metres of blackberries. We had no idea that the cliff was there. We had absolutely no idea whatsoever. I've had a business doing environmental grooming for probably 6 or 7 years, partners with my brother. We do work for the CFA, we do work for the local shire, but an area like this isn't something that we'd be able to put our machine into because it's too steep, the terrain's too harsh on it. With what we do as well as with goats, it'd be ideal. The areas we can do along the flats, and you can reach a certain way up the bank, and then the rest of it you can leave for the goats.
We're not doing this covertly, it is guerrilla forest management, but it's, we're not doing it in some secretive sense. And in fact, we're making little short films about it, we're telling the community about it. But the thing that I think gives us the most security is that all of the neighbours are on board.
I think it's really important to develop those relationships with your neighbourhood and your community, because you'll get people that will want to be a part of it as well. That's alleviation of workload, responsibility. It's kind of spread, and that's quite a lovely thing, because for what we're doing here, it is putting back into the community, and it is nice when someone comes along from the community and goes, I want to be a part of it, I want to help.
It's this very simple interrelationship. The goats are happy you keep providing them land, and we're happy because they're doing work that is transforming the ecology, is moving it into its next phase of succession.
Well-being is number one. If the goats aren't happy, you're not happy. Yeah. And they'll make you know it.
This forest has grown me up. It has enabled me to see the importance of wildness in our very domesticated lives. If there is a relationship between wildness and the domesticated aspects of our lives, then I feel like we're going to be people who know how to work with the land again. I'm a second people's person on first people's country, but I have my own first people's ancestry to draw on, and we all do. We all come from first peoples somewhere in the world, and those stories are important because we haven't always been trammelers of land. So this forest has enabled me to have an education of what I would call the living of the world, be a student of the living of the world, and be a participant of the living of the world. And that has given me some hope. Yeah, that has given me some hope. Yeah, and joy. And just to get back to this absolute basics. With all my university education and all the busyness and all the noise of social media and all the noise of our culture, really, this is our way back to sanity. Whatever relationship we can have with this material is not a story of domination.